Today on Real Life Radio.
The evidence is overwhelming. If Jesus was a historical figure, then you must begin now to entertain the claims of the resurrection.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust, dishes are clanging in the kitchen, and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really. But it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere, so don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message called What Are You Talking About? Part 1. Now, 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us the benefits of discovering the nature of Christ in our everyday life. You see, Christianity claims something that no other religion does, that its relevance is based on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. See, without Jesus' resurrection, Christianity has no meaning, and our faith has no meaning. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that when it comes to sharing the gospel, God wants us to use our minds, our reasoning, and our logic. You see, in our world today, faith in Christ is becoming more scarce, because very few people are paying attention to what the Bible says is true. Now with his message called, What Are You Talking About? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
At the moment of the rapture, 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We can't get there in this molecular structure. We've got to be changed. Resurrection, hold, keep looking at the screens. Resurrection takes your body and reconfigures its molecular structure. It's you being resurrected, but in a new, can I say this? It's a little bit of damage to the actuality of it, but imagine arranging the numbers differently and it changes the number layout or the paint job or the chemical structure or the sequence. It's the same, but it's changed. Just like the caterpillar that goes up your wall and goes in that chrysalis, it's the same thing. Reconstructed, and he flies away. Flesh and blood, as you and I are, cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed. It's a great verse for the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Anyway, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, there's two trumpets. There's the trumpet that draws Israel together, and then the second trumpet, which is the last trumpet, it draws the church together. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be metamorpho. We shall be changed. How exciting is this? Listen, we cannot avoid the argument presented to us regarding the resurrection. You must either deny the resurrection, disprove the resurrection, or reject the resurrection, but you cannot avoid it. I want to read you this quote. And by the way, just because somebody might say this morning, I agree with that quote, doesn't help you. Quote, I don't believe in the Bible, so to me, I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't or isn't an actual person, close quote. You think that gets you off the hook? Let me read that to you again. I don't believe in the Bible, so to me, I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't or isn't an actual person. If you today say, I don't believe in Jesus or the Bible or resurrection or eternal life or heaven or hell because of any one of those things. I choose not to. But I do not believe, for example, somebody say, I don't believe in the Bible, and so I don't believe in Jesus. Do you think you're off the hook? Really? That's amazing, incredible, shallow arguing. You're going to risk your entire existence and meaning of life based upon your choosing that you don't believe in the Bible or fill in the blank. I don't believe in Jesus. You got to start somewhere. I don't believe in God, so I don't believe in the Bible, so I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the resurrection. None of those things are true. They're all a myth. You've got to start somewhere in your argument, and just because you hold to that view, there must be profound evidence to back up your position. Are you with me? You say, man, you're being kind of hard this morning, aren't you? I'm trying to be like Paul. Paul is saying, doggone it, bring on, let's fight. Come on, bring it on, bring it. Paul is saying, bring it. And let's argue. He's so sure. He's so certain of what he believes. Why? Why is he so sure? Point number one, what are you talking about when we say that Christianity's relevance is anchored to Jesus' resurrection? You Christians say that Christianity is absolutely anchored to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? I'm glad you asked. The resurrection doctrine is the absolute foremost teaching and preaching issue of the church today. And without a church preaching the resurrection of the dead and the resurrection of Christ, in my opinion, it's not a church. What are we talking about? Number one is this: opposition can only strengthen the argument. Christian, I am pumped. Why? Look at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached, everybody, was Christ being preached? The answer is yes. That he has been raised from the dead? How do some among you, will you circle those three words? Some among you, because they're among us, say that there is no resurrection of the dead. Paul starts his amazing courtroom argument before the hearts and the minds of men. Christ is preached as being resurrected. How is it then that some disagree? In this world, my Christian friend, people will disagree with us. Listen, true story. Lisa called me one day from her office at State Farm Insurance back in 1979. She called me at work and she was crying. We were just married. Very upset. I said, what's wrong? Now, you know how God has opposites attract one another? Those of you who are married, you know what I'm talking about? Keep that in mind when I tell you the story. She's saying, I just shared the Lord with somebody at break, and they said I was a fool, and they said I didn't know what I was talking about, and they said they would never believe in God. And I said, what are you crying about? I just told you why. No, I said, no, why are you crying? I don't get it. She said, I just got called a fool, and the person I just shared the gospel with doesn't believe it. I said, sweetie, I'm still missing the reason why you are emotionally engaged in this thing right now. God's the one crying. And they didn't reject you. They rejected him. You gave them the gospel. They rejected it. My friends, when we give the gospel, when we share it, we're so fearful of getting to the point of preaching Christ crucified because we're afraid that the story, the event, the message is so fantastic, people won't believe in it. Listen, there's no way they're going to get to heaven without believing in that message. And listen, don't shy away from the direct message of the preaching of the cross and the preaching of Christ, because it is a God-ordained, God-engineered, empowered truth that you never have to apologize for. And listen, you may make that statement. I may be making that statement right now, and 50 people believe it, and 100, they don't. That's not for me to tamper with. It's for me to pray for them. But just because someone resists, it strengthens the argument, my friends. I want to employ or bring to your ears Charles Spurgeon's advice. He says when we're sharing, when we're witnessing, when we're living as Christians, we need to be as harmless as doves, but we need to have the skin of a rhino. And that's good. That's wise words. Those are wise words. Opposition can only strengthen the argument. Christ is preached, but some will always say that they do not believe or there is no resurrection of the dead. And then you ask them, why? Why do you not believe in the resurrection of the dead? Let them talk. Let them talk. Just let them go. I'll bring up some of their arguments in our study, but let them go. Let them talk. Listen to them until they're all tired. Let them turn blue in the face. Let them run out of words. Hand them a bottle of water so they'll keep talking if they need to. Just keep going. Bring forth your argument. Why? Isaiah 1:18 says, God says, bring your argument, bring it on. Come, let us reason together, God says. And so, Christian, I want you to be thinking like that from this moment on. Engage the non-believer. Engage those who deny that there's a resurrection. Why? Because you have the eternal, never tiring, always powerful, never returning void word of God behind the argument. Why? Because your argument is true. Yeah. Well, that sounds silly to me. It's true. Dead people stay dead. Resurrection doctrine, true. I've never seen anybody rise from the dead, so it must be false. Jesus has risen from the dead. Others have risen from the dead. It is gospel truth. Stay at it. Stay at it. Stay at it. Christianity claims something that no other religion can or does, that it's the founder of Christianity who traveled from one dimension, heaven, to another, earth, to yet another, the Bible says, death, and back. You know anybody like that? That's our message. The preaching of the gospel should be based upon facts, and it can be. God will not be a part of any lie. So us coming from the angle and from the direction and from the foundation of what the Bible says is true. We know it's true, but yet the person on the opposite side of the table doesn't believe in the Bible, doesn't believe it's true. Then who wins this argument? My friend, keep this in mind. Falsehood, intentional or unintentional falsehood, imagine it being in a marathon. Bang! The runners go. Falsehood, non-truth, will always be exhausted and never make it to the end. It may take 28 miles, it may take 28 years, it may take a lifetime. Falsehood never makes it to the end. The truth, Paul the Apostle said, having done all to stand, what? Stand therefore. The truth stands like this. The truth doesn't have to run. It just stands there. And falsehood is all exhausted and then falls over dead of a heart attack because it's false. And the truth is abiding. The truth is eternal. It will never change. And I want you to keep that in mind because the preaching of the gospel is supernaturally empowered, and God has given us the facts to back it up. You don't have to go to the tomb, though the tomb is empty. You don't have to go to other issues that someone may try to entrap you on. Well, I've never seen a document signed by Jesus. You don't have to go there.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
If you're here today or if you're listening and you say, I don't believe in the Bible. I don't believe that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Okay, the Bible says Jesus Christ was preached having been resurrected from the dead. Let's just ask you this. Do you believe that people went around preaching Jesus Christ? Listen, I don't care who you are today. I don't care how liberal in your thinking or atheistic or immoral you might be or godless you might be, you're not stupid. You will have to agree that there was an actual historical figure, Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem. How do we know? Because the Roman records and the Jewish historians, in fact, one of the most famous non-believer historian, Flavius Josephus of the day, confirms all this stuff. Jesus was a historical figure. You might say, well, that's all that he was. Why? You want him to be only that, don't you? But if you examine the evidence, if you start somewhere, and let's start right there. that Jesus was a historical figure who actually lived. In fact, you know that every time you sign a check or type in the date. You ever think about that? When you type in the date, you're confessing Jesus every time you type a date down. Okay? Come on, think about it. What year is this? It's only this year because of one name. Okay? So let's start somewhere. If the evidence is overwhelming that Jesus existed, forget the definition of who or what he was. You've got to start somewhere. And from that moment on, whatever your conclusions are, listen, if they are apart from what the Bible says, it's because you have taken an emotional approach to the data and not a pure scientific approach to the data. The evidence is overwhelming. If Jesus was a historical figure, then you must begin now to entertain the claims of the resurrection, among others. Denying it didn't happen doesn't make it so. It's very important. In 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says, "But in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Church, look, that is written to every Christian. Are you a Christian? It's written to us. We got to give an answer. Secondly, it's this. Opposition can only steal, S-T-E-E-L, the investigation. What do I mean? That whenever someone launches an investigation, I'm going to find out who the actual Jesus was. I'm going to examine if the Bible can be trusted. I'm going to see if what the Bible says and what science says are in unison. I'm going to launch an investigation. The zeal behind Paul is the zeal that should be behind you, that you can say, bring it on. Let's do the investigation. Why? Because, in fact, listen to this. I saw on a program on, it's called Modern Marvels. Cool program. They examine stuff or build stuff or analyze stuff. And they took this new special hybrid radar type of x-ray, type of MRI thing, and they shoot it at a building or a bridge, and they're able to tell how strong it is or how weak it is and how much longer it can be a bridge before they have to tear it down and build a new bridge in its place. It reads behind all the stuff and gets down deep inside. Imagine if you took that ray gun and pointed it at the person of Jesus or the Bible. Guess what you find out? You find out the truth. Never today, ever again, in our families, with our friends, on our campuses, let someone say, "Oh, you can't believe in the Bible." You pull out your ray gun and you shoot them with it. And you make them tell you why. If you have a professor in school that says, "You can't believe in the Bible, it's full of myths," stand up. Amen. You say, "Pastor, they'll fail me." I would rather be failed in that class for the truth than letting a falsehood pollute the hearts and minds of others. I'd stand up and say, "Excuse me, but there's a whole lot of other people for the last about 5,000 years, and the number's only increasing, that completely disagree with your statement, that are much more educated than you are. Isaac Newton believed in the inerrancy of Scripture. Think of that. Isaac Newton wrote commentaries on the Bible. You're not going to tell me that my college professor is smarter than Sir Isaac Newton. You see, stand. Hey, you might get an F in class, but you get an A in heaven. I'd rather have a degree in heaven. The next thing is this. As we steal the mind, when the verse 13 says, "But if there is no resurrection from the dead," notice this, circle the words, "if there is no." This is that argument of passion that Paul is saying, all right, he argues from a negative. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Why does he say this? Because, church, listen, Paul is absolutely beyond convinced that Christ is risen from the dead. Thus, he can say, oh, please hear me, Thus, he can argue like this because he's so sure. And you might say, well, Jack, if I would have seen Jesus appear in the atmosphere riding on a donkey on the way to Damascus and encounter Christ, then I'd be sure like that too. The Bible says God is no respecter of persons. You may not have met Jesus on the road to Damascus riding on a donkey. My question is, have you met Jesus at all in any condition? Because I didn't have a donkey ride and meet Jesus. But I can tell you right now, by the wonderful grace of God, I can argue with Paul. This is not theater here, what I'm doing right now. I can tell you that if somebody came in with a machine gun right now and said, deny Christ or die, I would have to say, Lord, give me grace right now to die for you. My maniac friend with the machine gun. I cannot deny Jesus. I don't want to hurt. I don't want to have pain. But I know this, if you pull that trigger, I'm going to go see the Lord. And you need Jesus now. You need to put down your machine gun. You need to come to Christ. You see, well, I hope I can do that. Listen, the Bible says, if that day should come to us, God's grace will be there and you will do it. In fact, it will probably be the Holy Spirit through you doing it, because that's what church history shows us. Yeah. Listen to this. Modern objections to the resurrection of Jesus. Write them down. Your kids are dealing with them right now on the campus. Maybe you're arguing with it right now in your head. By the way, I'm only going to give you six of them because I quickly learned, dependent upon what website or what book you read. Listen, this is hilarious. The arguments objecting to the resurrection are constantly changing. Did you hear me? The arguments are constantly changing as to why someone doesn't believe in the resurrection. What does that tell you? That's a big hint. Do you remember I said the truth just stands there? In fact, the earth is younger now, today, than it was when I was in high school. The universe is younger now, according to the Hubble telescope, according to modern astronomy, astrophysics. The universe is younger today than it was when I was in high school. See, what are you talking about? The more we learn and go down the road, the closer we get to the truth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called, What Are You Talking About? Part 1. We're glad you're here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So, Pastor Jack, our featured offer of the month is What You Need to Know About the Rapture, and it's written by Charles Ryrie. And Ryrie is a name that I recognize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Ryrie Study Bible?
Right.
I just put the two and two. I'm pretty smart, don't you think?
There you go.
But I'll tell you what, trying to find your copy of the Ryrie Study Bible.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, Davey, the Ryrie Study Bible is out there everywhere except if you're looking for the New King James.
Right.
There's a big story behind that. We don't have the time to get into all of it, but I can tell you this, that one of my most recent copies that were found. I have somebody that's actually looking for the New King James of Ryrie always because they don't make them anymore.
Right.
Dr. Charles C. Ryrie was a profound theologian, and he was the general editor of that project, the Ryrie Study Bible. If anybody has a Ryrie Study Bible in the New King James Version, it is a treasure. So hang on to it, everybody. But listen, we're talking about, I think you mean, Davey, a new book.
Let's talk about it.
Even though he's in heaven now, his family has put out this book through the wonderful people at Harvest House Publishers, and it's titled What You Need to Know About the Rapture. And Ryrie was an expert on what is known as biblical eschatology. So it answers a lot of questions. It causes people to come to a better understanding. You know, some people are being lied to today that there is no rapture.
Mm.
Yeah. People are saying that, well, no, it's if there is one, it's you know, this way or that way.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible makes it very clear there is a rapture. It pertains to the church, and it hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, with that, it is a doctrine that requires of us to be looking for Christ now. So if you think about it, Davey, it's very powerful. We are supposed to be planning and living, occupied till I come.
Yeah.
for the next 50 to 100 years, yeah, right? We make decisions that will affect the next generation. Yeah. Yet at the same time, we are to be living with an eye toward heaven because the trumpet could blast at any time.
Yeah, exactly. Being ready for it.
Yeah, being ready. This is a great book for that. What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Dr. Ryrie.
What You Need to Know About the Rapture by Charles Ryrie. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.